Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. And this is Eva Venari, the founder of the Elevate Institute, your host for this segment of Owning Your Health, where we explore alternative ways to be more consciously aware of truly owning what it takes to take care of your body at work with today's health thought leaders. And I know you heard the intro saying we're talking to women and women leaders, but today, I'm known for this, I brought in a gentleman. So our topic today is create personal legacy of success with hypnotherapy, and our leading gentleman today is Daniel Alexa. And he is a soul-connected coach who helps individuals seeking purpose to release the cages of fear that have dimmed their light so that they can shine and be seen with power and authority. Oh my gosh. Yes, sign me up. Good afternoon, Daniel. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Eva. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing great sitting up here currently in Sonoma County in 100 degree heat. It's a beautiful place to be today.
Oh, not quite the surface of the sun, but dang close.
Exactly.
Well, beautiful. I love this. And you normally live in Southern California, but you're just away on a little trip right now.
Yes, it was time to get away to some somewhat greenery and some wine time for a weekend.
Yes. Well, we are in the midst of COVID times where we've been trapped up in our homes or in places that we have been forced to stay for a long time. So what a nice break to get away. And now I've got you on the phone for a half an hour. So we're going to put you back indoors for a minute. But I got to say, when I mentioned to the group, to the Connected Women of Influence ladies, I got a hypnotherapist coming on the show on Friday, they were all excited. They said, oh my gosh, I want to know more about that. So we're all excited to have you here. And I want to jump into this very first question. What is hypnotherapy? But before you answer, I just want to say this. A lot of people, including myself, I thought of, you know, the Jungle Book when he had the snake. What was his name? And he was.
Oh, I don't remember the snake's name, but I know.
The animation and his little eyes are going in a circle with, you know, and is that hypnotherapy? What is hypnotherapy? Tell us more.
So hypnotherapy, the word therapy, adds the twist to it. Hypnotherapy is the use of the tool of hypnosis to help clients to release deeper inner beliefs. I hate to use the word reprogramming, but it is kind of appropriate to help them program their mind with the thoughts and beliefs that actually support them, rather than the stuff that we all learn growing up that gets conditioned in by parents or family or friends, people of authority, and even culture, that becomes our template for what we think we deserve in life and how we have to live life, but we don't have to. It's all this belief structure underlying that really, it's just like running a computer. If you want, there's a phrase in computer programming and computer output that put certain something in and get certain something out. And so if you have thoughts that are and belief structures that are not serving your highest good and in high alignment with what you want to get out of life, that's exactly what you're going to get, is not the highest of your good. So hypnotherapy gets into understanding where those old patterns came from, how in a way they're actually serving, and then releasing so that the short-term service is no longer taken into account, but the client's long-term growth instead.
And I hear the word servicing, and I think sometimes, I mean, the judgment of whether or not something is good for you or bad for you goes away, and we can see things as a larger picture. Does that sound right?
It is. And so when I teach coaching classes, I talk about this a lot, is that we as human beings would love to think that we make decisions for intellectual reasons, no matter what those decisions are. At the end of every decision, we make that decision for an emotional reason. It is either taking us further away from pain or closer to pleasure. And that could be a short-term pleasure, like I might know that I really want to get in shape and lose weight, but you know that ice cream is calling me right now, and it would feel really good to have it right in this moment. So the short-term pleasure of the ice cream, or that entire pint or quart, depending on what kind of day it's been, versus the long-term pleasure of being healthy and you know, living pain-free or whatever, being at my ideal weight, all of those other things, they can come in conflict. But when we understand what is it about that short-term pleasure, you know, eating ice cream makes me feel good and reminds me of home. Okay, we'll still have that association, but instead connect out stronger to how much happier will you be when you're in shape, at your ideal weight, et cetera. You can still have the ice cream and remember home, but maybe you don't want to eat that entire quart anymore.
Right, where you're trying to hide the container, what pint of ice cream from your friends and family, right?
Exactly.
Which can happen. And that's not serving you, that's harming. And I can see the correlation between the two. So there are some things that we have programmed into us because we grew up and were exposed to these ongoing programs without realizing we were being hypnotized by those around us. Right. Okay, cool.
Very true.
Now, all right, cool.
Those beliefs, there's two ways really to impress a belief, whether it's a serving belief or a limiting belief. And it's through either in a moment of shock or through repetition of hearing the same thing over and over and over, particularly when it's coming from someone in authority like a parent. Oh, if they're expressing this, so maybe it's like a limitation of money. It grew up with a parent always saying there's never enough to go around and money is a struggle and blah, blah, blah. That as children, we hear that and hear it so much like, oh, that must be the way the world is. And then we experience it in our adult lives because we've been programmed to see the limitation in that way.
So, I mean, you would think, this is just my logic kicking in, you get to a certain point where as an adult, now you're making your own decisions. You're away from parents every day, ongoing access to their thoughts and beliefs, creating your own thoughts and beliefs. So why do people carry their old stories that no longer serve their happiness and growth into adulthood?
Oh, there's so many ways I can answer that. And the blunt one is, there's a part of me that wants to answer this really bluntly. Part of it because it's just simple. There's so much distraction in the world, particularly now, that to challenge something that's deep inside our heads that may actually cause disruption in the familiar comfort zone that we've lived in, even though it's comfortable, even though we say it's miserable. There's a payoff for being there because now I can be like every other member of my family and complain about money around the dinner table, where if I'm the successful one at the dinner table saying, what are you guys worried about? Money's easy to come by. Then they ostracize me and say, you're crazy. Like you've been blessed with something special and you just got lucky.
Right. Okay. So we're dealing not only with our own repeating record of what people have said to us in our lifetime, but we're dealing with it's ongoing, what's being around us.
Yeah, it's in a way, it ties into a phase of my work that I've come into recently, which is really releasing those old family stories. The current terminology right now is inherited family trauma, and this idea that we carry memory in our DNA for seven generations, that my great, 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 great grandfather experienced something and that learning got passed down through the generations, reinforced through whatever was going on at the time. And then we in our current lives are still experiencing some of that. I think about just in single generations from parents, like my parents grew up during the Depression. They have a certain idea around what it's like to struggle because they experienced it in those formative years. I grew up in the, I was born in the mid-60s and was, and really my formative years were in the early 70s. And I think about how their experience of the world 30-some years earlier, 40 years earlier, was still affecting how their messaging to my brothers and sister and I when we were growing up. And the world was a vastly different place. And it gets carried.
Yeah. Well, I've seen evidence of that when I see people who have lived through World War II. I notice a lot of them will have second or third freezers in their garage because they don't want to go without food the way that they were forced to go without during the war. And it's no longer something that's necessary, but they've changed their lifestyle to do that. So that's somebody I think who's lived in default, like you're talking about. But I want to step into this place of free will. Like there's things that we do because they serve us on an unconscious level that you're talking about. But, you know, people are afraid of being hypnotized because, and I'm using that word specifically, because they don't want to cluck like a chicken at the bark of somebody's command. Like, tell us a little bit more about how free will comes into all of this.
Yeah. The easiest way to describe it, and I find myself saying it so often when I'm talking with a new client, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. I am not in control of anyone who is sitting in front of me. I don't click my fingers and say, sleep now, and they magically just check out and
right.
come back when I say, wake up. It's about rapport. It is about the desire to be. You cannot be hypnotized against your will.
Okay.
So client comes in, and I've heard clients say, you know, I went to somebody and they couldn't hypnotize me. I'm like, because you weren't comfortable with them. Tell me about your relationship with, oh, they seemed like they had all the answers. They wanted to be in control of me. And I like, there you go. So I have a different way of relating to my clients and helping them to feel comfortable. And the work really gets done when we're in rapport, because if a client isn't comfortable with me, they're not going to allow themselves to relax to the place where we can do the work. And really all hypnosis is just a natural but altered state of mind. It's the brainwave pattern right below deep REM sleep, which is the delta wave pattern. We're either in the alpha or the theta, which is where you're either daydreaming, which is alpha, or theta is that space where you're almost asleep but not quite, or as you're waking up in the morning, you're not quite sure whether you've woken up from the dream and you're in the bedroom, or if you're like, oh, I am awake, but I'm still really kind of sleepy.
Okay, so you're not going to go into this strange sleep where you snap your fingers and you wake up and you don't remember anything. This is all about consciously
the client.
Things.
Yeah, the client is fully aware through the entire process, and actually probably more aware because so many limitations of the conscious mind are actually pushed to the side. But if I was in a conversation with a client and they suddenly decided, you know what, this isn't working for me, they are completely free to open their eyes and say, let's try again next week. I'm done for this week.
So it's guided by the client. It really is. It's something that they have to be open to it and aware of what's going on for themselves.
Yeah, I am there just as a facilitator to help them to go to feel safe, to go to the places, to have the inner conversations they need or want to have with those parts that are helping to either boost their life forward or maybe the ones that are inadvertently holding them back from their true desires of success and happiness.
And that legacy that we're trying to talk about today. So let's jump in to that, because we've touched on, you know, the free will programming. So we have the opportunity, as far as I can tell, to take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and decide, you know what, I want blockages removed. I don't necessarily know what all they are, but I'm willing to take that first step. So I read about this transpersonal hypnotherapy that you're offering. How is that helpful in breaking all of those old ties, those old stories, those things that keep us from moving forward with our purpose?
Sure. So we think about those old stories that we learned. Let's just keep it to family because that's simple and it tends to be mostly family stuff that we've learned it. But along our life, we experience this, I want to do something different, or I have a desire to, you know, maybe be a business owner or be an artist, something that really makes our heart sing. And we feel this inner light when we connect to that idea. But all those limiting things, that stuff that comes from struggle or from learned limitation of you can't do that or being told we can't do that, gets in the way. I'm like, well, I could never be an artist. There's no money in that. Well, there are artists making money, so yes, you could. And whenever that little fire of spark comes up, that's really who we are authentically. That's the thing that we're here to do with our life, to experience joy. May not have been our parents' thing. May not be our sisters or our friends or our brothers' thing. It's ours. And we get into this idea of living other people's lives to make them happy instead of being who we are authentically. So the transpersonal work gets in all those, I use the term parts because in a lot of the work I do is parts therapy, where there is you've heard the phrasing, there's a part of me that wants to do this and a part of me wants to do that, and they may be in conflict. So we can, in hypnotherapy, we can actually have conversation with those parts. And the cool thing about it, which is a little bit of a mind bender, is that even though those parts are in conflict, they are both working to protect us in some way and keep us safe. They have different ideas on how to do it. The one that is saying don't do that might have the idea of, you know, you want to be an artist, but there's no money in art. You need to be able to earn money to eat and have a place to live and everything else. So don't do that. Do this other thing over here. Its highest intention is protection, where the other part is about creative expression. Rather than being polarized, find a way for them to work together and really shed that limitation so the person can unleash their inner light, their inner calling, in a way that serves them to their higher purpose and good, rather than just being stuck with well, there's no money in that, I guess I'm not going to do it.
Well, let's bring this down to the earthly realm and apply it. Like, how would blockages, like you're talking about, the two different distinctions between these parts, how would that manifest itself in a person's business? What might they look for as a symptom that there's something amiss with blockages?
Let's say they have they start to see patterns. In business, it might be they rise to a certain level of income, and then either they peak there and run a plateau and they don't move any higher, even though they have a desire to, or maybe they run kind of a hill and valley. Maybe they get up into that, like they crested $100,000 because there's something about that six-figure income, and then suddenly they find themselves dropping into 50 or 60 or 40 because there's some inner belief around six figures and deservedness. But 40 to 50 is survival mode. They can get by there. They tend not to drop lower than that, but they run this roller coaster because I am allowed to earn enough to get by. I'm not deserving of more because that means somebody else isn't getting theirs, typically is how that story comes up. So there's this idea I have to share. No, there is enough abundance in the world for everyone. You are not taking anything from anybody else. You are receiving your portion of the worldly pie. So it shows up in the what they'll do is create self-sabotaging behaviors that seem innocent or may not even be conscious, but they'll maybe push clients away or maybe not show up on time. Lots of different things, maybe not pay attention to the details, and then they'll bounce back into that 40 to 50 range, and then slowly come back and peak again, drop back. And once they see that pattern, we can go in to understand why is it going on, because there's something there to learn, and ideally release it so that they can move past $100,000 and live in joy and financial freedom.
I'm sitting here. I've got a few things I want to say, and they've all collided in my head. And the one that wants to come out is, I know a lot of people who would have like a knee-jerk reaction. Well, I know I'm worthy. I have a purpose in life. I know I want to do this. What do you mean I'm telling myself these I'm unworthy statements and I can't, you know? So how do you combat that knee-jerk reaction of resistance, or do you? How do you roll with it?
I would ask questions to understand it more. And so if we have the idea of, let's say, a mid to high six-figure income, let's say that person wants to earn 200 grand. you know, we live in Southern California, so that's like just getting by in Southern California.
Right.
$200,000. If you're not living it right now, that means that you've got a block in the way. You have the image of it that's coming up that's calling you forward. But if you're not living it right now and you're still, let's say, 75 to maybe 100K, you have the vision for two. There is something getting in your way of the realization of that, and it is not outside forces. It is internal because we only have control over ourselves.
Yeah. And
some
a lot
things
of
like COVID may
stories.
Slow them.
Yes.
Exactly. Now, outside forces may slow it down, but we still have personal control even while, like, the current events of the world are going on. There are still people earning income and having thriving businesses. What story do you choose to tell about yourself and your business? How do you choose to pivot? Oh, I hate the word pivot. How do you choose to pivot in this moment that serves you? Spin.
Yeah.
Spin. Pirouette.
Yeah, there you go.
Pirouette.
New word. Pirouette. Even better. We'll get into ballet. So I'm thinking, of course, we still are in COVID times. Are you seeing people in person still, or are you able to do this work remotely?
I am able to do the work remotely, and most of my clients are now remote, although I do still see some in the office that are comfortable with that. We take the precautions, we stay safe, but I am able to see clients in the office.
Awesome. And I'm really curious because I don't remember ever asking you myself. We've been friends for, 3, 4, 5 years. We met at the Holistic Chamber of Commerce years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you get into hypnotherapy?
That's a long story, but the short version of it is I came out of small corporate America, was working for some family-owned companies, and I hit a wall. I burned out, and I was done. At the same time, I was going through a divorce and had really lost my personal mojo. Through a weird series of circumstances, wound up seeing a hypnotherapist in Kansas City where I lived at the time. And as I and my current wife were moving from Kansas City to relocate to a new state, I knew I had to reinvent, and hypnotherapy came onto my mind of maybe that's what I want to do. And at that moment, it was all I can describe it as is a moment of universal alignment where it became abundantly clear that that was my path forward.
Amazing. Yeah, I hear all the time, Eva, you know, you're so lucky to have a passion for life. And I say, be careful what you ask for, because once you know what that is, you're now assigned to it. Like, you can't do anything else. It becomes very clear that this is what you're meant to do. And I know just from knowing you, it really is. I've been in sessions with you. I've received remote healings from you, and they're both amazing. So very, very helpful. And I want to say thank you for living your purpose, because not everyone has the ability or the courage to do that. So amazing stuff. So if someone is listening to
the idea that, if I can add on there, that the idea of living your purpose does not mean it's all unicorns and rainbows. There's a whole lot of work behind it
to get to that moment.
Yeah. Yes.
Although unicorns are not always that nice, but anyway,
mm-hmm.
That's okay. So as people are listening to you and they're recognizing some of these symptoms in their own business or in their personal life, tell us if you have anything for them to contact you, or even a free gift that you might have for them today. Share with us what you have for our listeners.
Yeah, I actually just put a new free recording on my website that is a grounding and healing meditation to help people protect themselves, actually shed negativity, and then also protect themselves from it, because in the world that we are in right now that is so incredibly divisive, particularly on social media, we wind up taking on false beliefs, particularly others' beliefs, and getting triggered by them. So I created this 15-minute meditation to help people really get back to center themselves and get rid of that stuff that's not theirs to carry. And that is on my website at danielolexa.com.
Wonderful. I think I saw that post on Facebook, and I was going to give it a try myself. I haven't done it yet, but I saw it. Yes. Wonderful. What a great way to sample.
What?
I haven't tried it yet. Is that what you're upset about?
You haven't done it yet. Yes, I'm very upset about that.
I'm outed. Feet to the fire. Well, you know, I love how we interact together. We've always had a lot of fun. And I was reading more about, you know, your about section on your website. And I want you to tell us a little bit more about why you love the movie Sixth Sense.
Because there's this part of it, particularly with the child, that he sees things that aren't there. And I grew up in a house that was haunted. At least I'm still convinced it was haunted, even though I'd hear people calling my name at 4 years old. And I very recently had a conversation with a coach in England who helped me see this, that I kept that spiritual side somewhat hidden unless I knew people who would be in tune with it, because it could sound kind of weird. But I also have this innate business sense of just understanding systems and how things work. Like, you show me a little bit of what you're doing, I will understand where the pitfalls are, where the growth opportunities are, and let's go do it. And he brought it to my attention that, you know, you're seeing things that aren't there, just as in your childhood, you heard or saw things that other people couldn't see. And really, that's where magic happens. So I love that idea. Here's Haley Joel Osment in The Sixth Sense, seeing things that other people can't, and also bringing a sense of closure, particularly for the Bruce Willis character, as they navigate that movie together. And just having the magic of understanding and seeing into things that other people don't see, as one of my mentors and gentlemen, you know, Daniel Gutierrez, was coaching me a couple years ago. And I was at this moment of frustration where, you know, have that epiphany. And I said, I can't believe I didn't see that. He's like, they're called blind spots for a reason. And that's why you have me.
Yes. We all need, what's that called? Somebody wants to ride a shotgun. That's it. I'm dyslexic.
Shotgun.
So yeah, shotgun. That person who is there to see around your blind spots. Some people call that backseat driving, and they get really upset with me when I do that. But, you know, we all want to avoid the accident. So, yeah, that movie was so brilliantly edited, because you don't realize when Bruce is speaking with the mother that she can't even see her own son or hear him.
Yeah, because the way that particular scene is the one that I remember the most, is they're sitting facing each other, and when he walks in, they go to silence. Just
right.
As natural conversation of someone walking in the room, like, oh, we're talking secrets about the kid. We got to stop right now. And you never get the sense that he never has a conversation with anybody else in the movie. That's a dialogue. He might sit there and talk, but there's never a dialogue. The only person he has a dialogue with in the film is Haley Joel Osment's character.
Now, and I'm taking that and I'm not internalizing it, but applying it to how we might talk to ourselves about stories we believe, about why we're doing things, and how much this makes sense that you like that movie. Yep, it all goes hand in hand. Well, okay, so any last thoughts for our listeners? We're getting down to the wire here.
Yeah, if as you hear the conversation today, if there is something inside you that has been wanting to come out as a different way of living, as a shining of your light and feeling fully authentic, then perhaps it's the place for you to next explore of what are the stories that are holding you back, and potentially how are they serving you in the short term that feels kind of good and comfortable, but it's not quite that glowing brilliance of what you really imagine life to be.
It's worth reaching for. I like that. Very good. Well, thank you so much. I want to say thank you for being our guest today. And special thanks to all of our listeners. Yeah, I love it. Thank you for taking the time, because I know that you're out and about, but we made it happen. So I'm glad we did. And we are an international show, so it wasn't just we don't have just listeners here in the United States. They're all over the world. And we'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show. We're here Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific. It's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Thank you for listening, and have a great weekend. This is Eva Venari, founder of the Elevate Institute, reminding you to question everything.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.